Hello.
All right. So, oh, sorry. All right.
Nico.
Are going to go to one of the verses we used a different week. Go over it again. It's James 1, 19 and 20. I do have one testimony from the body, a couple of personal stories that I feel like are helpful. And then I even have, I'm not able to show you the videos. I do want you to hear the words though from the videos, and I'm praying that will help you as well.
James 1, 19 and 20.
Amen.
Okay. So I'm doing this in the Amplified again, because it's very helpful in my opinion. All right, so James 1, 19 and 20. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. That's you guys. Let everyone, so that's all of us, be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God is a standard of behavior which he requires from us. Okay, Lord Jesus, we come before you. I ask that I say exactly what you want me to say. I pray, oh God, that it will fall on good ground of our hearts, oh God. I pray that we remember it when we need it the most. I pray, oh God, that it will be edifying, that it will be helpful, God, that it will be effectual, that it will be spirit-led, oh God. Lord, you are spirit and you are life and you are truth, Lord. I pray that each and everything that I share is helpful, that it's exactly what you would have me to say, how you want me to say it, that you also bless Sister Brooke, oh God, as she speaks, Lord. I pray that every single video, oh God, every single example that you give me, that I'll be able to articulate in a way where it's understood, oh God. And I pray that through this we will draw closer to you and closer to one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so everyone can be seated. So my first question is, what makes a healthy body? Who can tell me what makes a healthy body? Denise.
Oh, your physical body, church, physical body.
Diet and exercise.
A healthy body. What makes a healthy body?
Vegetables.
That is true. You need the vitamins. You need some vitamins. Yes, that are in vegetables.
Back over.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you're physical. Yeah. We're going to start with that. As a God's having me do a lot of pictures type of things. Let's do the boys back here.
I got the mic over here.
Yeah, thank you.
Return to the podium.
Thank you.
That's a lot. One thing I'm trying is to love water.
Water, good. That is very honest and true.
I know you're good.
Fruits, good. Yes, vitamins and fruits.
Sleep.
Nutrients. Sleep. Yes. Minerals. Yes. Sleep. Yay, yay, yay on sleep. Fasting. Yes.
Stress management.
Healthy.
Being healthy. Yes. It's important. A healthy body is important. Twinkle toes.
I was
going to
say rest, but then I think about your mind.
Yes, good mind, mindset. I heard that from Sister Sarah too.
Stand up when you talk.
I don't have to. Vacations.
Vacations. Rest. Yes. Purposeful rest.
Vacation.
All right, we're gonna stop at
broccoli.
Broccoli. Okay. green veggies, they're very good for you. So, that's what makes a healthy body. So just like we need water, nutrients, sleep, stress management, intentional rest like a vacation, we also need those things within our spiritual body as well. So in the Bible, there's a lot of word pictures. So the writers of the Bible use things that we all are aware of to remind us of biblical truths. So every body part is important. And at the same time, so God gave me a vision. I was praying the other day. He gave me a vision of the heart. So the organ of a heart, if you could imagine it. And he showed it to me like in an operating room, just like in a container. And he said, so I was looking at the heart, and he was speaking to me that the heart is significant and important, and it's significant and important in and of itself. However, if it is outside of the body and just like sitting in a vessel, and it's not actually in a body, then it doesn't meet its full potential and it's not functional. And so all the things that everybody mentioned are our body, how God made our body is for it to, when it's functioning at its height, all the systems in our body, all the organs in our bodies are all communicating right to, they're communicating well to each other. And sick bodies, there's different systems in the body that are not functioning well and aren't communicating to one another well. Excuse me. And so he was showing me that that each and every body part is important in and of itself, and at the same time, it's most powerful when it's all together. And secondly, he was showing me that each and every one of us are, like, the world doesn't revolve around us, right? However, we are important and significant. So that to the point where anything that we individually do affects, could affect 100 to 1,000 to 1,000s to millions of people, what one person does. So it's very interesting. It's like, it's not all about you, and also you can affect everything. Does that make sense? So we think of somebody like, they're doing a movie on the creator of the atom bomb, right? So that man is just a man who's a man who's a man that's lived on the earth, right? So he is an image bearer. So yes, he was made in the image of God. He has significance and importance in and of himself. And at the same time, his creation affects everybody. You do know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not all about you. And also, you have the ability to affect everything. So it's very interesting balance that we have. And so, like I'm talking, like God was showing me in the body, the healthiest bodies are the ones that communicate and that systems communicate amongst themselves and that are all joined together and functioning well, and they're all together in the body. And so this section is talking about what makes poor conversations. And so I'm gonna go over some different things that cause conversations to not be as healthy and not keep connection between people and between our church body in particular, or your family, or your workspace, or your team, or whatever you're involved with other people. And so I'm gonna go over different things. We're gonna first start with anger and hurt. And then we're gonna just keep going down to the different things that we can, that cause poor conversations if we don't handle them right. And like I said, I am going to share some, there's gonna be some audio that you're gonna hear and also some personal testimonies of what not to do, right? So So the first thing is in the scripture in James 1:19, in all of these different things that cause poor communication, it's because we weren't quick to hear, we weren't slow to speak, and we weren't slow to anger. And when we don't do those things, what happens is that there's a door that's open, right? There's an infection. There's something that can come in because we're not doing those three things. And when we don't do those three things, then that causes a sickness in our body, in our relationships, right? And so the first thing is anger. So Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." So resentment is anger for being treated unfairly. And me, myself personally, I have been dealing with this a lot lately. And so hurt, and so sometimes we're hurt and it's hard not to want to hurt someone else when we are hurt. So when you want to hurt someone, when you are hurt, then it's important that that conversation is paused. When our emotions are heightened and we're unable to calm down. So there's a lot of instances over the last months and stuff like that where there was a lot of emotions. I was angry, I was upset, I was disappointed, I was a lot of different things. And in those situations, by God's grace, I was able to bring it back down, and only because of His grace, only because of prayer, only because of fasting, was I able to come back down. Because I was so enraged in different situations where I've never hit anybody, and I was that enraged where I felt like I was going to physically hit or hurt somebody. And so I'm telling you these things, and I'm not like up here like, oh, this is just so easy and I've arrived, you need to arrive where I'm at. That's not where it's coming from. It's really coming from a real, real place. And I know for a fact, if it had not been that God told me to start working on this 2 years ago, read this book, study it, physically actually start working on this stuff, I would not have been able to conduct myself in the way I have in different situations. So it also doesn't help when we are angry to be disrespectful because we don't agree with whatever is going on. Whenever we are so angry, want to hurt or embarrass somebody else, then the conversation needs to be paused as well. Second thing, assumptions. So the scripture says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So that is making an assumption that you're actually having a conversation. What is very detrimental, and I've noticed a lot, is assumptions. I have made so many assumptions and didn't even realize I was making assumptions. So what we know about others is not a clear story unless we ask. Instead, most people fill in the gaps of different situations with assumptions. And like I said, it's not, for me, it wasn't even, I didn't even realize that I was making as many assumptions until I realized I didn't understand what in the world was going on. And I had made up a story about what happened instead of actually knowing what happened. Assumptions damage real connection and understanding. And when we do that and then we start speaking on whatever happened before we actually know what in the world happened, it's embarrassing because if you start talking about something that happened that you don't really know what happened and you start through an assumption and you actually start spreading a lie because it's not even true because that's not even what happened because you're just telling a story from an assumption that you didn't realize there was an assumption, and now you're lying, and it's like, then you have to go back and apologize because I said something out of assumption when I didn't really know and I thought I knew and all this kind of stuff. And so it just causes a whole bunch of confusion. Instead, when we wait, which slowing, being slow to speak and waiting, then we can actually ask questions, be humble enough. It actually takes a lot of humility to ask questions in conversations. When we do that, then that helps us not to have misinformation. And actually, sometimes this has happened too. I'll be talking to somebody and God will be giving me a revelation. And a revelation, someone was asking me what a revelation was, and I was telling him that it is a thought, a knowing, an understanding that I didn't previously have that lines up with the Word of God at the same time. Like, I didn't know this, I didn't understand this, I didn't think about this, and I know that I know that I know, and it also lines up with the Word, and it's pure. And so that can happen in a conversation, and still you should ask questions in the conversation and not start making assumptions. The third thing is avoidance. Can someone tell us of a time they avoided a conversation and why? A time you avoided a conversation and why did you do it? You wanna share?
I avoided a fight going on in the school. You avoided it? That's good. Why did you do that? Because I didn't want to get, and I didn't want to be a part of it.
Good. That's good. So, in order to not be a part of the fight, did you have a conversation to avoid it, or did you just move your physical body away from the situation?
When I saw the fight, I was a little close, mm-hmm. So I moved my body away.
Okay, good. All right. Can somebody else tell me of a time you avoided a conversation and why?
I can.
Okay.
I don't like conflict. Like, I don't like arguing. I don't like the fight. I don't like to feel uncomfortable. So there was a situation where I needed to get a person out of my life, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to have that conversation. Like, so I started praying, Lord, just remove the person. Remove the person. Well, no. Faith of God works is dead. You got to open your mouth. And you gotta speak out your mouth what needs to be done. It took me 7 years to do that, but I got it done.
Praise God. Praise God.
I got in trouble at school one time, and I avoided the conversation talking to my teacher about it.
Why did you do that? Why did you avoid the conversation?
So I wouldn't get in trouble.
Respect. Thank you for sharing that.
2 minutes.
I love you, Andrew.
I was very, very mad at myself, but I avoided the conversation because I knew I was wrong. I didn't want to be with her, you know, but I knew what I was doing. I didn't want to come back to Colorado with all that baggage that I had to Colorado.
Wow, respect. Thank you for sharing that. No, seriously, that is real. Thank you guys. I really do appreciate that you guys sharing your stories and being honest.
stand up when you talk.
I was going to say, avoiding conversations because knowing I may not have the capacity to deal with the response, and my response is not going to be the right one.
Yes. I definitely understand that as well. We got Mom and Sister Brooke.
I'll say avoiding because when you realize you did something wrong, mm-hmm. you feel the shame about it, you see no time where it's like, avoid it, kind.
Yes, yeah. Been there. My mom has one too, sister.
Okay. I'm sorry, Sister Lisa.
Give me that mic back.
We'll be back, Nico. We'll be back.
Prefer your sister.
I've avoided conversations because of my anger. And I knew that if I approached the conversation when I was angry, that it wasn't going to turn out right, and I would just be in my emotions and so on.
Okay, baby. And what's the rule?
Stand up when you talk.
So there was these kids talking about jumping somebody. So since I didn't get involved in that, I just left so I didn't get in trouble.
Okay. Well, see, those are all different reasons why we avoid conversations. You have another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
And I think maybe I'm the one who's tripping. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. And it's a me issue, not a you issue.
Big pastor in a house that ain't going to stand up because you don't have to
stand up. So I say discernment. Because sometimes my phone will ring and the Lord will be like, just don't answer. No. It's a waste of your time. Mm-hmm. And I say this, I don't have unlimited virtue. Jesus does.
Right. That is big, big facts as well. So in the conversations we should have and avoid, so I believe that one thing, when you are angry and you feel like you are going to dishonor someone else or it's not going to be edifying, it's good to go to God with all that anger and all of that before you have a conversation. Also, like Pastor Marquis said, sometimes God will say not to have a conversation. That's very real as well. And otherwise, if you are supposed to have a conversation, it's important to face the problem, like Sister Yolanda shared. Because conversations connect us, and some are pivotal in our lives. Like sometimes some conversations we must have and we're not able to like, oh, I'm just not gonna do it. Like we must have the conversation. And so I'm gonna share this video first really quickly of this man who was a new convert. Let me find it.
Touchscreen, and there was a guy standing in line right in front of me, and it was taking a while to look up the directory, and the Holy Spirit comes over me and says, you need to speak to this guy. And I was sort of negotiating with God, like, oh, do I have to? I don't really want to. I don't feel like it. But this guy took like 5 minutes, and I'm like, what's going on? So I go, okay, all right, Lord, I'll speak to him. I said, hey, man, are you okay? What's going on? And he turns around, and he's in really bad shape, and his shirt is falling apart and everything. And he says, no, actually, I'm not. I'm high on drugs. I'm a drug addict, and I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I have no money. I don't know what's going on. Can you help me? And I said, yeah, sure. Like, all right. I see what you're doing here, God. So I just had a chat with him for a while. We ended up speaking for a couple of hours. We walked around the shopping center, and I got a lot of bad looks from people, dirty looks at people saying, why are you wasting your time with this guy? But I ended up buying him some clothes and some food and some drink, and I got to give him the gospel, and I got to pray for him. Through that prayer, he was able to get on the phone and reconnect with his mom, reconcile with his mom, so that he can go spend some time with her. And so we hugged. I gave him my number and I walked away. And as I'm walking away, he said, hey man, one more thing. I just want to let you know that if you hadn't stopped to speak with me today, I would have ended my life today. And he said that in tears, and I just felt the Holy Spirit come over me and say, this is why you need to be obedient to me when I give you a prompting, because you never know where it's going to go.
Okay, praise God. So that's the next thing, like we were just sharing, that you got to be obedient. Sometimes you got to have conversations, sometimes you're not supposed to, and sometimes you're supposed to wait. And so we just need to really have that conversation with God first, you know, really speaking to God in these different situations so that we are doing the right thing at the right time. I also want to share my own personal testimony with that. I was probably about 23, 24, and I had gone to church my whole life. However, I'd become religious where I didn't do what the Bible says. I did some of it, I didn't do all of it. And I was carrying so much shame and so much guilt that I came to church with my kids one Sunday, and I just remember looking at everybody. I looked at everybody's faces. I watched them worship. I just looked at the building because I was like, this is the last time I'm coming to church. So I was just taking it all in. And so I'm sitting there. My kids are really little. And Sister Janice comes up to me, and she's just weeping and crying. And she tells me, you're getting ready to make a decision. And she's like, maybe you would be okay, but what about your kids? They might not be okay. She didn't know that. That was my last time at church. She didn't know that. She had no idea. However, she had the Holy Ghost put that on her heart and showed her that. And she came and spoke to me in that very moment while I was broken, while I wasn't doing everything right, why I had so much shame and guilt and didn't feel like I belonged. And so she might have been like, why am I thinking this? This is kind of weird. Stephanie's been here her whole life. She's not thinking of not coming anymore. She didn't do that though. She walked right over to me and she spoke what God laid on her heart. Another thing that hurts families, that hurts churches, is comparing. So if you'll go with me to 1 Samuel 18:5 through 9. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. So this is after David killed Goliath and he became an armor bearer for Saul, and he was in his army. And the second part of that verse says, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. So it seemed that after he heard that song and he heard their comparison, that Saul's heart changed towards David and that he hated him. And he began a scheme to kill him from that moment on. So if you keep reading that chapter, you start hearing of the first times that Saul is taken over by an evil spirit and how he begins to try and kill David. So comparison is very, very detrimental to any relationship in your family or in the body or any sphere that you're in that you have relationships. So my next question, we're going to talk about competing. Have you ever competed with someone and why?
Yes, I have. I have, and I just want to win.
You just wanted to win. Okay.
Can you turn the mic up, please?
Oh, Jordan first.
Every time we play a game, we're competing. But right now,
woohoo!
Sorry.
Those are for the folks that were sleeping.
But right now, Columbia, we were playing this game called Musically, where you're competing. We have the best songs. We in competition every day.
But I'm winning.
Not for long, my league.
Barely.
You're not for long. Not my league.
Usually when I'm playing sports against my brother,
okay.
I always want to beat him.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Bragging rights. Me and my twin brother, we always competed our whole life. You know, cousin, I got a gang of male cousins, so, yeah.
Did it have always have good fruit in your relationships, competing?
With my twin brother, or just in general?
Just in general.
Really.
No. What's something negative that happened because of competing?
Oh, fighting.
Okay. Gotcha. People get their feelings hurt.
I compete with JoJo a lot over who's Batman because I want him to know that I'm Batman and he's not.
All right, we got two over here.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Have you ever competed with someone and why?
So, I'm a very competitive person, and my reason why is I will always stand 10 toes on myself, and so I like to back myself, for one. And for two, I love it when people look good at competition, and people will doubt you. I love the doubt. It fuels me, so that's why I like to compete.
Okay.
Because when you go against me, then I'm gonna
show up.
And
show up.
Oh,
my team.
Yeah. Sports. I want to see if I'm better.
Oh.
I'm going to be like number one. And I can say, yeah, I'm number one. You're number two.
Oh, okay. LJ.
Me and my family do Uno every night. And so I'm always trying to beat my family. But fear not.
Not every night.
It feels like every night.
I got time for all that.
I just want to get better at sports.
Oh, okay. That's a good reason. You want to get better? Good.
Matt, was that your hand?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm coming.
Against my friends at school because I'm really competitive, so sometimes I try to cheat to win.
Wow. That's honest. I appreciate your honesty.
We got Jair
Jenison.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Some of my friends at school are competitive, so I will be competitive back to them.
Gotcha, okay.
Like, for real though, I don't consider myself a competitive person at all. But. Wait, I'm telling my story.
That's her truth.
Okay, but. Okay, so the Lord showed me different. I was getting there. So this one time I was in the gym and there's this lady next to me and we got the gym on the treadmill, right? And I'm getting like, I'm already like 40 minutes in and I'm looking at her time and looking at my time and she's still going. She's like, I can get on the treadmill.
So I'm still looking over.
You want a competition, it's game on.
All right, we're gonna stop there for now. This was great. Okay, so thank you guys all for sharing. So we're gonna talk, so in the Bible it says to provoke one another unto good works. So if you are encouraging or provoking one another to do good things, then that is a good way to compete. However, let's talk about a story in Luke 22, 24 through 27, where it can get a little silly. So, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and so that's what happens before this verse. So, Luke 22, 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater that he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So Jesus is saying that a lot of times we say the person is greater who's being served, and in the kingdom of God, it's actually better to serve others, and that should really be our competition. I heard this couple, I think I was watching a podcast, and they were talking about that they compete on how they can outserve one another and how they can care for one another better. Let me see. So when we have unhealthy competition, like Brother Andrew was talking about earlier, something that can happen is it can prevent you from seeing God as good. And the reason why I say that is sometimes when we're competing with somebody and somebody is better or they're more advanced or these different things, we can think that God made us inadequate or not as good or not as skilled or not these different things can come against our mind, against our identity. That's not true. And so it can cause us not to see God right. So we can see him as not good, or he doesn't have a plan for us, or he doesn't know what's best, or he didn't give us a good enough gift, or these different things that are not true because we are competing with someone. Also, it can affect how we see ourselves. It can fuel insecurity, it can fuel anger, or low self-esteem as well. And then last, it can prevent you from appreciating others and learning from them and living in peace. So that's when it's a downturn on that. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is etiquette. So my dad, I got a lot of these things from my dad. When you're conversing with my dad, there's some things that my dad does not like. He doesn't like when you're eating and talking to him. He like, call me later. It's gross. I don't want to hear you chewing. And also, depending on the conversation, if you're doing something and talking to my dad, he feels like you're not engaged, and so he'll be like, I'm bothering you. I'll talk to you later. And he'll go away. So you gotta know who you're talking to, and what can bother that person and what can cause them not to continue to interact with you and connect with you. And another thing is people that are, they're talking to you and they're also scrolling. They're talking to you and they're also, you know, answering your text messages. They're talking to you and they're also watching TikTok. I don't know. It's like, so these different things are etiquette things that you should be mindful of that can cause not good conversation. Okay, another thing is exaggeration. Exaggeration is just another word for lying. So my dad was talking about this on Sunday. He was talking about his brother like having these exorbitant stories that ended up really being lies. And it's like, life is already spectacular, you know? You don't gotta throw confetti and glitter and, you know, pretty it up or dazzle it up. Just let the story be what it is. If you want to create a comic strip from, like, based off of a true story, that's fine. You won't be a liar. It'll be a new story. But don't say that really happened. It's a straight up lie. So, you know. All right. Another thing is our image. Sometimes we're so concerned about our image that we don't have good conversations. We want to look good instead of being transparent or vulnerable or helpful. And there's a saying, I don't know who started to say it, so I won't give credit because I don't know. However, they say, you cannot heal what you don't refill. So don't be so concerned about your image that you're not able to have actual conversations and actual connections with God, with yourself, with other people. The next thing we're gonna talk about is misunderstandings. I'm actually gonna have Sister Brooke is gonna share a testimony. Misunderstandings a lot of times happen when we're not slow to speak, we're not slow to anger, we're not slow to listen, right? And so when we're reactive, we're not listening. Those kind of things, when we do that, it causes a lack of trust. And that's when we can begin being rude or sarcastic or like blaming and stuff like that. And it all is through a misunderstanding. And I also really like what this podcaster was saying. He said, what is not talked out is acted out. And so if you don't talk through different things that have happened and really see and really acknowledge it, then that is also a misunderstanding. And you'll begin to act out of the hurt or something that happened that you didn't heal from. And then you start acting that thing out and it's all based out of a misunderstanding and can cause more hurt and more pain in your life. And so I'm gonna ask Sister Brooke to share a testimony that's actually very personal. And I just wanna, first of all, thank her for sharing this anyway.
The earlier years of church, being at church, and before church, I was really broken, closed off. Don't ask me to share nothing. I'll just stare at you. I was just saying how I felt about stuff. And I was still holding on to a lot of past situations from my past. And I didn't see a lot of difference in relationships I had, so I just assumed everybody was the same way. And that could have been false, too, because I was probably so closed off that I didn't give anybody a chance to show me that they were pure and true and honest. So to Evan, well, but on that end of it, a few years ago, there were a couple individuals.
Okay. Should I restart?
Okay. There was a couple individuals. This is before I was healed. This is before I was delivered. This is before God. I allowed God to really start, like, truly working on me and being uncomfortable. But a few years ago, during my baby shower, I was still, like I said, in a broken place. And I assumed
because of past experiences, that a few individuals were intentionally trying to hurt me or talk bad about me or do something to cause me harm. And I blew it up in my mind first, of course. I blew it up, and I blew it up to others, and that trickled for years. And fires expanded to several other people, all because of me not being healed, and then me having misunderstanding. And then, like I said, it grew into several offenses over a period of time and over several years. But when I allowed God to intervene with me, I allowed him to start healing me, and I allowed him to deliver me. I did the steps to do that over the years. And I allowed him to redeem me. I allowed him to get me out of a spiral, out of anger, out of all these different things. He opened my eyes to those individuals, and he showed me that in your past, who has still stayed even though you were sabotaging? Who has still been there even though you were hurt and acted on that hurt and were offended with them? Who has really just stayed? And that showed me, well, dang. Those people really do care. Those people really do love me. Those people really do have the right intentions toward me. And that was something I've never seen before. But that one misunderstanding blew up over a period of time.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I've probably had, without exaggeration, thousands of conversations with Sister Brooke because I've known her for so many years, and I've talked to her almost in most every day. So I saw her process of all of this. So thank you so much for sharing that, because she had experienced all this hurt and pain. She came into the church, still had all these walls up, and it caused a lot of different turmoil and hurt and pain on the people, on God processing her, and the people that had to love her through her being processed. And through our body and through the women in this body staying and going through the offense and being hurt and forgiving and all those kind of things, that allowed her to be free and to get healing. And so it's really powerful when we allow offensive misunderstandings, like it's powerful what misunderstandings can do, and it's even more powerful when you stay and work through those misunderstandings. Another thing that can cause a barrier is offenses. So in Ephesians 4:32, I'm gonna quickly go through these. And it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us." So that's something that we must consistently work on to make sure that we keep our body and our families in good connection. Another thing is sarcasm. So I actually really loved researching this topic in the Bible, and quite a few people in the Bible use sarcasm or satire in conversation to bring humor to serious situations. And I didn't realize before I started researching this. So in the article I saw on it as well, it says, I really appreciated this conclusion that they came up with. And they said, sarcasm or satire is not appropriate when it has the intent to insult or to be hurtful without corresponding love or a wish for well-being of the hearer. Instead, if the goal of sarcasm is to belittle the victim and elevate the speaker, Jesus warned against such harsh and loving words in Matthew 5:22. Instead, our words should be edifying, even if they are uncomfortable to the hearer. And then another thing that I wanted to share as well is teasing and bullying. So I want to share this for the kids. In 2 Kings 2, there's a story where these teenagers, when I was researching it more, it's these teenagers were mocking a prophet, the prophet Elisha. And they were calling him a bald man, and it was like a group of them, about like 40 or something of them. And in the, when I was researching it more, I was like seeing it was more like a gang. It wasn't just like a couple little kids. It was like late teens, early 20s, and they were mocking this man of God. And what happened to those young people is some bears came out and ate them. And I was like, sheesh. And I was thinking about, I was like, why? So I was curious. I'm like, why am I sharing this story, God? And what God was showing me is that God takes dishonor very seriously. Amen. Like, he doesn't, so two things, like, not being dishonorable to people that are older, you know what I'm saying? Teasing, bullying, and especially if you do it with other people, like ganging up on people, God is not like that. And then the fact that he was, he was a prophet of God. So when they saw him and he spoke, that was like God speaking to them. And so God took that very seriously, how they were addressing and taunting that the prophet. And so I want to tell a story about when I was little, and it's and this is to help the kids. When I was little, I was friends with these sisters, and there was one of these sisters that was very, very mean. She was a mean-spirited little girl. And there's another little girl that she would always pick on. And I was like, Sister Yolanda, I don't like competition, I don't like problems, I don't like fighting with people, I don't like any of that. So I would see this little girl get picked on, and I would never do it. However, I never stood up for the little girl either. I would just kind of watch, and I would be, you know, so I didn't have courage. I was spineless, you know, I was just like watching, like, ooh, I hope she doesn't mess with me type of thing, you know, let me get away from the situation. However, I should have spoken up. I should have said something to a parent. And instead, I was so concerned about having this friendship or because I was going to a new church and stuff like that. And so I just felt all out of sorts. So I made all these reasons why I didn't do the right thing. So I watched this thing happen for a while. And I remember one instance, it was just so cruel. We found this little gardener snake. And we went to the mountains, we found this little gardener snake. And this little girl took it, and it's like she put it on this little girl's neck, right? And it was just so mean. Like, she was just always fighting this little girl, making fun of her, just really, really mean. And so some time had passed, and some other kids came to our church and different stuff, and these girls that I cared so much about their friendship and all this stuff, they became friends with some other people, and I was really lonely. And it's like, when that happened, I was really, really lonely. It was before I went to middle school. And at that time, I started thinking about, I'm like, you know what? I don't wanna be, like, I didn't do anything per se. However, I did a lot by watching that, by not saying anything, by not sticking up for that person, by caring so much about having friendships with somebody that's mean and hateful. Like, what in the world? So, by God's grace, I didn't associate with like people like that anymore, girls and like different stuff like that, to the point to this day, like now I understand why God needed to teach me that when I was a little kid before I even got to middle school. Like, you're not a mean girl, and don't associate with them, and don't condone that, and stick up for people, and tell the truth, and get people help, and be kind, and demand that people around you are kind too. So it's like these different things that we can go through when we're little, that if you learn the lesson, you'll have a lot more blessed and peaceful life. So, I mean, thank God that happened when I was so little, because I haven't had like crazy, horrible experiences in my teens in high school as a young adult or an adult, because I don't have hateful women like that around me. And so, let's see. Can I use the bathroom? We're just gonna finish two things and then talk about some solutions. Thanks for staying with me so I could finish this. So another thing is to be careful not to threaten people, because it's a form of control, intimidation, and it's to instill fear. And the Word of God said that He has not given us a spirit of fear instead of power, love, and a sound mind. So because he's given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, we should not be intimidating or threatening somebody, because that's not operating out of the spirit of God. Another thing is your tone. Being bored, sarcastic, or things like that when you're speaking to people, that can affect your relationships. And the last thing is having unclear conversations. When you're having a conversation, acknowledge the truth so you can tell the truth as quickly and as appropriately as possible, and be direct. Don't beat around the bush. Say what it is, be direct. And another thing is, especially if you're uncomfortable in difficult conversations, don't attempt to pretty it up by sharing all these positive things when really what you need to talk about is negative. It's like, okay, what did you say in all that? Like, what are you actually saying? Because then you feel like somebody's trying to butter you up and it's just like fake, and you're like, what's actually the problem? Just tell me what the problem is. Don't try to butter me up and make me feel good and all stuff, and that's not what you're talking about at all. So you just want to have very clear conversations, even if they're uncomfortable. Okay, so some solutions. First and foremost, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray every day before you start talking to yourself or other people. Pray. Next thing, time strengthens trust. So when we were talking about at the beginning, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When you do that, and you're in relationship with people, it takes time. It takes time. It takes lots of time. And be willing to spend that time. It strengthens trust. Also, be slow to speak. So someone who talks all the time doesn't build trust because they don't demonstrate a willingness to understand other people. Pause. You don't have to continue a conversation now if you're extremely angry. Communicate with whoever you're in a disagreement with, or if you need to pause it and talk the next day, that's fine. Just don't go to all these other people talking about the problem. So, say you have to pause the conversation because you're angry, you walk away, what some things you should do. First, pray. Ask God questions and be vulnerable and honest with God and yourself. Journaling might help you. Do something calming, maybe taking a walk, maybe working out, maybe making a dessert, maybe taking a nap. I don't know, just something calming. Seek godly counsel when God shows you someone to talk to. So God has shown me people to talk to that are godly that will correct me when I'm wrong. So that's really helpful. You can talk to anybody. However, if you talk to who God shows you to talk to, it will be more edifying and helpful. Release your anger in a healthy way. Working out, boxing, yelling, screaming, crying, whatever that is, not towards a person. However, you do need to release anger in a healthy way. Don't assume. Believe and work towards a positive outcome. Ask questions that invite the person into identifying the problem and coming up with a solution. This is more effective than fault-finding and blaming. And last but not least, care about small things so that people will be willing to share more intimate things when it's appropriate. So, that is it, if we want to stand. You all. You guys helped me be obedient to God. I appreciate that because you told me to make this conversational, to ask people questions, to share people's testimonies and all the things, and you guys all helped me, and I appreciate that. And you guys gave me feedback throughout this process to make it better, so thank you. So God, we come before you and we just ask you that we will have the courage to continue to speak to you, God, to continue to engage with you, to continue to have the conversations that are hard and difficult. I pray that we ask you questions, oh God, that we will seek you and that we will find you because we've searched for you with our whole heart, God. I pray, oh Lord, that we're obedient to what you tell us, that we're quiet in your presence, that we connect with you, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that we have a good mindset and a good outlook on not only our relationship with you, our relationship with ourselves and with others, Lord, and with the lost, with our families, Lord, and especially in conflict. Help us, oh God, to have the right conversations, oh God, so we can continue to grow and become and continue to connect with you and with one another so we can be the body that you've called us to be. And I just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to teach this. I pray that we remember these things when we need it most. And I pray most of all that we stay connected to you and humble enough, oh God, to ask questions and to continue in your will and your way. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And if anybody needs prayer, we can pray for you here. And thank you all for coming. Good night.